news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The COVID pandemic is dominating life on the planet. Even though the recent trend lines show a dramatic decrease, we're still in grave danger. On Monday, the United States passed a sad and horrible milestone, 500,000 deaths in this country alone in the past year from the coronavirus. Yep, it was 1 year ago this week that the then president assured us, nothing to see here, nothing to worry about. We got this.
We have it so well under control. I mean, we really have done a very good job.
Flags around the country are flying at half staff to mark the more than 500,000 people who've died on American soil as a result of COVID-19. Dr. Anthony Fauci addressed the travesty plainly, saying, quote, "We've done worse than most any other country." As England prepares to reopen, its chief medical officer said COVID-19 will likely be a problem, quote, "for the next few winters," reminding us that, like the flu, COVID-19 will still threaten even with widespread vaccinations. There are other related health issues as well. Japan has appointed a minister for loneliness to combat a rising suicide rate amid the pandemic. And here in the U.S., we're seeing clinics popping up to treat sufferers of, quote, long COVID, whose symptoms linger long after the infection is cleared. Well, President Biden assumed a role that we haven't seen the president take in about 4 years. He addressed the nation Monday evening to honor the 500,000 of us who've died of COVID-19 here in the U.S. on the day that the nation officially passed the once unthinkable toll.
Each day, I receive a small card in my pocket that I carry with me in my schedule. It shows the number of Americans who've been infected by or died from COVID-19. Today, we mark a truly grim, heartbreaking milestone. 500,071 dead. That's more Americans who have died in 1 year in this pandemic than in World War I, World War II, and the Vietnam War combined. That's more lives lost to this virus than any other nation on Earth. But as we acknowledge the scale of this mass death in America, we remember each person and the life they lived. They're people we knew. There are people we feel like we knew. Read the obituaries and remembrances. The son who called his mom every night just to check in. The father's daughter who lit up his world. The best friend who was always there. The nurse who made her patients want to live.
Accompanied by the vice president, the first lady, and the second gentleman, the president observed a moment of silence at a candlelighting ceremony at the White House. Biden's focus on the magnitude of the loss from the pandemic was a complete 180 from the way the former guy downplayed the severity of the crisis. And there's lots of work to be done. Monday kicked off a busy week of Senate confirmation hearings. Attorney General nominee Merrick Garland answered questions from the Senate Judiciary Committee on Monday. He said that his first priority would be to investigate and prosecute the people who participated in the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Garland explained what makes him uniquely qualified to prosecute these insurrectionists.
150 years after the department's founding, battling extremist attacks on our democratic institutions also remains central to the department's mission. From 1995 to 1997, I supervised the prosecution of the perpetrators of the bombing of the Oklahoma City Federal Building, who sought to spark a revolution that would topple the federal government. If confirmed, I will supervise the prosecution of white supremacists and others who stormed the Capitol on January 6th, a heinous attack that sought to disrupt a cornerstone of our democracy, the peaceful transfer of power to a newly elected government. And that critical work is but a part of the broad scope of the department's responsibilities.
So Merrick Garland is a federal appeals court judge whose Supreme Court nomination by then President Barack Obama was blocked by the Republicans just 5 years ago. He said that if he's confirmed, he would focus on stamping out a rising threat of domestic terrorism that he likened to past threats like the KKK and Timothy McVeigh's bombing of the Oklahoma City Federal Building in 1995. Garland told the committee, quote, "We are facing a more dangerous period than we faced in Oklahoma City at that time." Garland's confirmation hearing in the Senate Judiciary Committee continues Tuesday with witnesses testifying. In the end, Merrick Garland is expected to be confirmed. But some of Joe Biden's other nominees are not expecting such smooth sailing, most notably Neera Tanden, Biden's pick to lead the Office of Management and Budget. She's in jeopardy after Senator Joe Manchin, a Democrat from West Virginia, said he wouldn't support her. Possible Republican defectors like Susan Collins and Mitt Romney both said they'd oppose her as well. See, with a 50-50 split in the Senate, Democrats can't afford to lose a single vote. But it's not only Neera Tanden whose fate is in question. The nominee to be Interior Secretary is Deb Haaland. Her hearing also begins on Tuesday. And her opposition to fossil fuels has made Haaland a target for Republicans and possibly some moderate Democrats, including Joe Manchin. It is notable that Deb Haaland would be the first ever Native American to serve on a presidential cabinet. But wait, there's more. Javier Becerra, who was chosen by President Biden to lead the Department of Health and Human Services, is also being singled out. Him over his stance on the ever divisive issues of abortion and the Affordable Care Act. Yes, opposed by some Republicans and, you guessed it, Joe Manchin. This is a good time to point out that Joe Manchin voted to confirm Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. He, you might recall, was accused of sexual assault and showed a lack of the temperament required for a Supreme Court justice. And there are other truly toxic Trump nominees that Manchin voted for. But just looking at these three, Joe Manchin seems to have a problem with a woman of color, a Native American, and a Latino. Perhaps this is a good time to share Merrick Garland's answer to Louisiana Senator John Kennedy's tone-deaf question about implicit bias.
I want to ask you about this concept of implicit bias.
Yeah.
Does that mean I'm a racist? No matter what I do or what I think, I'm a racist, but I don't know I'm a racist.
Okay, the label racist is not one that I would apply like that. Implicit bias just means that every human being has biases. That's part of what it means to be a human being. And the point of examining our implicit biases is to bring our conscious mind up to our unconscious mind and to know when we're behaving in a stereotyped way. Everybody has stereotypes. It's not possible to go through life without working through stereotypes. And implicit biases are the ones that we don't recognize our behavior. That doesn't make you racist. No.
Lovely, right? But there's more. Also on Tuesday morning, the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs and Senate Rules Committees are holding the first public hearing by congressional panels looking into the deadly January 6th attack on the Capitol. In the hot seat, the former Capitol Police Chief, former House and Senate Sergeant at Arms will all testify. All three of them lost their posts following the attack as lawmakers complained about how they responded to the most serious breach in the Capitol security in over 200 years. Robert Conti, who's head of the D.C. Metropolitan Police, will also testify. You know, five people died on January 6th, including Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick. And dozens of officers were seriously wounded. And two officers took their own lives in the period shortly afterward. Thousands of National Guard troops remain on patrol at the Capitol complex as threats continue to pour in against lawmakers. So there are lots of questions to be answered. It's happening in the Senate today, and the House version of this hearing is set for Thursday. The Senate today will also vote to confirm Tom Vilsack as Joe Biden's agriculture secretary and Linda Thomas-Greenfield as ambassador to the UN. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.